Last week we started talking about habits of the flesh that needs to be destroyed. We're in a period of fasting and prayer, 21 days of fasting and prayer, and nothing gets done, okay, unless we follow through with what we are hearing, okay, regarding the flesh. The flesh puffs itself up. The flesh has its demands. It wants to be kept warm. It wants to be fed. It wants pleasures. It wants all different things. And sometimes that gets in the way of the frequency of the Spirit of God. And what we need to do is, like we do every January, we don't do it out of habit, but we do it deliberately and consciously. We take time out to still ourselves before the Lord and to fast and to pray. And so that's what we're doing in these 21 days. We've started 1 week. We've got 1 week of fasting already completed. We're entering into a second week of fasting and prayer. And the fundamental question we said last week and we asked last week was, what does God want to do through me? And that is so important. It's very key. Okay? What does God want to do? Not just in me, but through me. Before he can work through you, though, he's got to work in you. But ultimately, God wants to do a work through you. Can I get an amen? All right. In 2026. So we're not going to drift through this year like we did last year and the year before. No, we have new expectations, greater expectations. And these expectations are from the Lord. Okay? So we're expecting God to do great things amongst us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Good. So last week I said that we need to focus really on three different areas. And I'm flashing them up on the screen again. We're going to focus as a church, a local church, evangelism. We're going to be focusing on reaching out to the unchurched. We're going to witness, and we're going to do whatever we can to get the unchurched into the kingdom of God. And secondly, healing and deliverance. That is part of our salvation package. It's our right. It's what God has already provided for us when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And so healing and deliverance is part of that package for us as believers. So we're going to believe God for that this year. And physical, emotional, financial, relational, etc. All sorts of, not just bodily healing, but healing in every sphere of our lives. And what we want to do, the third thing, right throughout the year, is create a deeper atmosphere in our services for God's presence to increase. And that is should be the foremost things on our heart right now. And that means breaking down the flesh. And that's what fasting is about. It's taking the focus off of the flesh and onto the Spirit, onto what God wants. And sometimes we have to be still to hear what God wants to do for us, or what God is saying to us. And so that means a deeper surrender. It means a deeper knowledge and understanding of the things of God and the purposes of God of me and what I ought to be doing. It means a deeper humility and a deeper crying out to God. As you part the flesh, as you focus, realign yourself to the Spirit of God and his purposes, then you'll begin to see changes manifest in our lives. Now, when we talk about habits, we're talking about something that's not just mentioned once or twice, but something that's created over time. And so we realize that habits take time to build, and they also take time to break down. And sometimes in creating new habits, you have to, in getting rid of old habits, you have to create new habits to replace the old. But nevertheless, this month we're focusing on six habits that destroy the flesh. And that's where we are going. Now, every day we are either doing one of two things. We are either feeding our flesh or we're feeding our spirit. There's no middle ground. You're either feeding your flesh or you're feeding your spirit. No middle ground whatsoever. And we're in a time now where we've got to focus on feeding our spirit, aligning ourselves to the things of God. Yes, the demands of the flesh are plentiful, coming from outside and even within. But we've got to part those, silence those, and say, no, this time is for me and God. I am going to focus on God and what he wants to say to me and what he wants to also do through me. So Galatians 5:16, again, we looked at this last week. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right. Habit number one last week, we talk about it. I'm just going to sort of briefly mention this. Try to keep you focused, okay? Try to keep you focused. All right. Number one, we spoke last week about fasting. Okay? And last week, I actually gave you 15 on-screen statements about fasting. 15. On-screen. I said more than that. More than 15 last week, but 15 on-screen. And I've only fleshed up about 4 of them today. It says, fasting refines your focus and brings clarity. So I'm just reminding you of what we said last week. Here. Just one screen I'm giving you. Fasting starves what's killing your spirit. That's what fasting does. It is a willful abstinence from natural pleasures for a spiritual purpose. And we also said that fasting is a personal commitment to renounce the natural and to invoke the spiritual. It's a deliberate action that is taken by believers because they recognize that that is the priority, and I've got to do this in order to break down the demands of the flesh. Everybody with me?
Amen.
All right, good. All right, so today we're going to go right into habit number two. Feeding daily on God's word. Feed daily on God's word. All right, so if you want to break down the habits of the flesh, you have got to do these 6 things. Number one, you've got to fast. Remember last week we said it's a must. Jesus said when you fast, not if, but when. So it's not optional. And we spoke a little bit about that. Now, the second thing we've got to also do is recognize that we've got to feed on God's word. Acts 20:32. It says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Now we read that verse, but I want to break down what it says actually. It says 3 things I want to bring to your attention. Okay? Number one, believers, we're not just commended to God's word, but also commended to God, but also to his word. Believers were commended to God, but not just God, but to his word. In other words, his word was recommended from one believer to another. Hey, you've got to get a grip of God's word. Hey, listen to what God is saying. You need God's word in your life. So 3 things coming from this. Number one, the word is able to build you up. The word is able to build you up. And it's so important that we recognize that. It's spiritual food and we need building up. Man shall live by bread alone, shall not live by bread alone. Matthew 4:4, I think that's coming up. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we need God's word to build you up. God intends for us to live by his word. God's word is able to build you up. Number two, God's word from that verse is able to give you an inheritance. It amazes me sometimes how when you go in various Christian circles and they don't realize and recognize that God actually wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, God wants to prosper you. And there's so much evidence in God's word. And this is just one of them. He wants to give you an inheritance. Okay? God wants to see you prosper. And there's so many scriptures that we could turn to that reveals that truth. And what we see that from Acts 20:32. The third thing we see from that verse is your inheritance is manifested among the sanctified. So in other words, then, those around you, your brothers and sisters, will bear witness to. Maybe because of your testimony, or maybe because they see it, but they will bear witness to your inheritance being received amongst the sanctified. But the beautiful thing is God's word also tells us in Psalm 23, he says, I lay a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So even in the presence of your enemies, God's provision is laid out. So the unsanctified will see it, and also here, the sanctified will see it. Come on, don't we serve a good God? We need to be intimate, though, with God's word. We need to be intimate with God's word. I shared this with you before. It's coming from memory. I'll share it with you again. The word intimate comes from 2 Latin words, intos and intimos. Intus means within. Okay? Intus means within. And intimus, the second Latin word, it means to be close to. It's one of the definitions, to be close to. So God's word is in you and it is close inside you. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to place his word inside of you. He wants to be intimate with you. His word, but him also wants to be intimate. He wants to work inside of you. He wants to be close to you. He wants to do a work that is rich inside of your life. And we must recognize that. Now, when believers intimately and actively engage with the word of God, God will reveal himself through these three things. Number one, the prophetic. You've heard this before. Number two, the promises of God. And number three, the principles of God's word. Let me let that sink in a little bit. When you begin to get intimate and active with his word, and you get his word inside, your passion now increases, and your attention now is given to God, you will automatically, you'll find yourself being driven to his word. And when you're driven to his word, and you get passionate with him, and passionate with his word, you'll find these three things begin to happen. The prophetic will begin to happen. You'll begin either receiving prophecies or speaking it or receiving it from some other source. The prophetic will begin to operate and reveal itself in your life. It could be in your prayer time where God now begins to prophetically speak into your life, if I can put it that way. But the promises of God, and all the promises of God, and we know this, are conditional. But God will begin to reveal himself to you through his promises. He will speak to you about his promises. And number three, the principles of the word of God, which is vitally important for us to hear, to know, and to acknowledge. And we need faith. In order for all these three to work, we need faith in our lives. So the question is, how do I get faith? Well, Romans 10 and verse 17 says then, faith comes by hearing, and listen to this, and hearing by the word of God. So there is, everything points back to the word of God. If you're going to get the faith of God, by the way, you need the word of God. And that comes, and that brings or delivers to us faith. Okay? And we need faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11 verse 6, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, John chapter 14 and verse 21, it says this, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. You say you love the Lord, well, are you keeping his commandments? Are you doing what you're told to do? If you are, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. How many people need or want more of the manifestation of God in your life? Of course. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. We need that. And so therefore, keep his commandments. When you do that, the Father will see that you're doing that. Jesus will see that you're doing that. And both will love you. And Jesus said, I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. That's what I'll do. Manifest myself to him. Isaiah 34 and 16. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail, not one shall lack her mate. This is the principles of God's word now, the promises of God's word, and the prophetic of God's word. Not one of those, okay, will fail, the Bible says. Not one shall lack her mate, for my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. His spirit has gathered them. And I just quoted to you. So, I'll see what's coming up, that's why I'm saying this. So we've got to search from the book of the Lord, search from the Bible, and read. And the promises, the prophetic, and also, what's the third one? The promises, the prophetic, and the principles of God will not fail. Okay? Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall lack her mate. In other words, whatever it needs to perform and to manifest itself, God will supply that and give it to make it work. Amen? For my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. And notice that. His mouth has commanded it. His mouth has commanded it. God never does anything without first speaking it. As a matter of fact, the way that God brings things into existence is by speaking the thing into existence. And that's why we were created, and God wants us to function the same way He functioned, and that's why He has given us the medium of words and our tongue and our mouth, so that it is not just something we use casually, but it's something we use deliberately to operate and to command things to be in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so let's look at Matthew 4, verse 4. I quoted that earlier, so we don't even need to stay there. But He answered and said to them, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now I'm going to give you some statements. This is very important. We read this and we know it and we quote it, but it's important that we actually grasp this. Okay? You were not intended to live by bread alone, physical bread alone. You go out, you work, you come, you buy food, you eat. You weren't created for that alone. Okay? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So statement number one, if you live by bread alone, your living is ineffective. If you live by bread alone, your living is ineffective. In other words, if you're living but you're not implementing God's word, you're not working God's word in your life, your living is ineffective. You're operating in the flesh, and the arm of flesh will fail. And flesh does not please God. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the flesh is enmity against God. That word enmity means hostility. It's hostility against God. It works against the things of the Spirit. So if you're living by bread alone, okay, your living is ineffective. And then spiritual malnutrition kills. You got to take these things seriously. If I don't divulge myself in God's word, if I don't take in a daily gospel, then I'm going to find myself in trouble. I'm going to find myself, you still have energy, but I'm going to find myself not getting what my spirit actually needs. So you'll still be able to function, but limited. Not effectively, because you're not getting the spiritual nutrients that you need to get. This is why some people fall by the wayside. Problems come and they fall by the wayside because they're spiritually malnourished. They've not been feeding on the promises of God. So the prophetic word is not being revealed to them. The principles of God's word not being revealed. And the promises of God's word not being manifest in their lives. And so spiritual malnutrition takes place. Now listen to this statement. You don't lose spiritual battles because you are weak. You lose them because you are malnourished. You lose them because you're malnourished. Once again, because the spiritual nutrients that we actually need, the substance we need to grow and to function and to be effective for the kingdom, it's not there because we are spiritually malnourished. If your spirit is not being fed God's word, your flesh will take over. And we should all know that to be true. Because I'm sure at some level, some point, we've all experienced this. If your spirit is not fed God's word, your flesh will take over. Because once again, you're not receiving the spiritual food that God intends for you to receive. So over time, you become malnourished. And so your whole being, your whole spirit now, cannot function the way that God really wants it to function. Every time you open your Bible, you are not just reading, you are preparing to fight. You're preparing to fight. And that's what God's word is about. What are we fighting? You're fighting confusion. Or you're preparing to fight confusion. You're preparing to fight fear. To fight lust. To fight self-centeredness. Pride. You're preparing to fight hopelessness. You're preparing to fight sickness. When you open God's word and you read it and meditate on it, you are preparing to fight jealousy. And jealousy, and you know this because again I've taught this, jealousy, some things if you leave it in your life, it deteriorates and gets more and gets worse. And it does more damage. If you leave jealousy, if you identify jealousy in your life and, you know, you're jealous of someone or you're jealous of something, you know, and you leave it, it deteriorates into envy. Jealousy says, you have it and I should have it. Envy says, you have it and I want it. But if you leave that there, it deteriorates to another worse stage. Anybody remember that stage? Emulation, that's it. Emulation. And emulation now is where you don't just see it and say, I should have it. You don't just see it and say, I want it. But emulation now says, you have it, and I'm going to make war with the person who has it so that I have it. And that's emulation. That's jealousy deteriorated to its worst state, where you now declare war upon the good that you see in the person who has that good. And that is not how we should operate. Now, a personal test. What do you reach for first thing in the morning? Your phone or your Bible? Don't answer out loud. Answer to yourself. What do you reach for? Just a little test. What you reach for first determines who you are letting lead. You know, do you wake up every morning and the first thing you grab is your phone? Now, if your Bible's on your phone, that's fine. Is that what you're thinking? No, that's fine, that's fine. Stay with me now. If your Bible's on your phone, I don't use my physical Bible in the morning, so I use a Kindle. Okay, and I've got apps on the Kindle as well. But I reach for my Kindle every morning, first thing. First thing I do, actually, is thank God with my eyes open. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I'm still in bed. Thank you, Lord, for this day. But the second thing I'll do, if it's not the bathroom thing, is... Well, that's the flesh, you see. Now you've got to crucify that. What do you reach for? Your phone to check your messages? Social media? Gosh, dare I say it? Games? Of course not. But you reach for your Bible. If your Bible's on your phone, as I said, that's fine. You're reaching for your Bible. That's what you're reaching for, and that's okay. But what you reach for determines who you are letting lead. So you get up and you go straight to social media. You're checking your messages. You're checking your email. The first thing, I wonder if I got that reply from yesterday, or I heard my phone go off, bing, 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 you know, and you're tempted to check it first. You've got to be careful, because now you're letting the flesh lead. And you've got to say, no. Spiritual things first. God first. Okay? So, just something for you to think about. So, reach for God's word. Let me give you some reasons why you should do that. You should reach for God's word. Because God's word renews our mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2, I think, don't be conformed to this world, but be you renewed. How? By the renewing of our minds. Romans 12, verse 2. Now, God's word strengthens your faith. I think we looked at that, didn't we? God's word strengthens your faith. Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing? Maybe not. And hearing by the word of God. I can't remember if I mentioned this before. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Reach for God's word. Why? God's word convicts our hearts. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. What else does God's word do? God's word shows us where we are walking. Psalm 119 verse 105. And that same verse tells us that God's word just doesn't show us where we're walking, but shows us how to walk. How to walk. All right? Psalm 119 verse 105. This is what it says. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Verse 13, that same chapter, it says this, that the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, because of time, I'm very limited in, you know, what I can bring here on a Sunday morning. But we all know this, and I'm just bringing some scriptures that we've already looked at, pertaining to God's word. So what I'm saying to you, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, is that make God's word, make word intake a priority. Make it a priority. There is no breaking of the flesh, okay, without the input of God's word in your life. So make it a priority. So that's God's word. Number three, habit number three. I'm going to run through this quickly as well. Fervent prayer. Come on, everybody say fervent prayer. Very, very important. James chapter 5, verse 17. It says, I'm not going to stop it now. All right. James 5, verse 17, it says, confess your trespasses to one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay? So when we're talking about fervent prayer, the word fervent means passionate. It means heated. It means hot. So when you're in fervent prayer, you're praying from somewhere deep down within. That's how it becomes passionate. It comes out passionately. You're not just praying from the roof of your mouth, but you're praying from the roots of your heart. And that's what James 5:17 is talking about. And that's the prayer that avails much. But the verse, it says, confess your trespasses to one another. One of the problems we have today in the body of Christ is people sinning and hiding it. And that's not right. And that's not good. Because we forget that the Holy Spirit sees everything. God sees everything. But He wants us to do what? To speak to one another. Don't handle it by yourself, but to confess your trespasses to one another. This instruction coming from, actually, James. This was the James, wasn't it? James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. And the message that comes from him is the instruction to do this. Confess your trespasses to one another, that you may be healed. We already know that if we have clogged up sin within ourselves, and we're just not open, we're clogged up with all sorts of issues and stuff, it prevents healing from happening. And that's why you've got to be free. And that's why, and many a time, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, which I have, Jesus delivered people before they were healed. They were delivered from certain traps and certain things that were actually in their lives. And some of these things are actually hidden. And many a time, demonic work, the demons are at work. Without people even realizing it, demons are there causing the problem to multiply instead of are being got rid of. But these are some of the things that we've got to do. Not just gloss over it, but pay attention to it, that you may be healed. Okay? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, by the way, a righteous woman, it avails much. Luke 18, verse 1, then it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart, not quit, not cave in, not give up. But you always ought to pray. Come on, say with me out loud. I must always pray. You pray at home. You pray even when you're traveling in public transport. You pray while you're driving. You can pray. Pray. Practice the presence of God. And you'll be surprised sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, don't go that way, go that way. Or slow down, or speed up. Or something is going to happen. Practice the presence of God. You always ought to pray and not to lose heart. Here's a statement that is coming up that some people might not understand. I don't know. Talk less to people and more to God. Talk more to God and less to people, man. I'm not saying don't talk to people. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, the statement says, talk less to people and more to God. People have problems sometimes and they run and they talk to everybody about the problem, about the injustice, about what's been done to them, rather than coming to God and talking to God about it. Talk to God more about your difficulties, your situation, whatever it is, than to people. Again, I am not saying don't talk to people, but I'm saying your first response in every given situation should be to seek the Lord. Talk to Him about it. He's your source. He's your sustainer. He's the one that's going to actually instruct you, lead you, and help you in that difficulty, in that trial, in whatever it is that you're going through. Prayer is not a backup plan. It is a battle plan. So you don't wait until things deteriorate and get worse before you pray. It is not a backup plan. It is a battle plan. You pray before, even before the thing happens. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen this week, but Lord, I present this week before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you then, Lord, for guiding my foot. Thank you, Father, for everything that will happen. I will have the wisdom of God to accomplish and to do what is right. Present yourself before God. Present the matter before God. Present the week before God, your day before the Lord. It is not a backup plan. It is a battle plan, because we are soldiers of the living God. And we're in warfare. And we've got to realize that. What else? Prayer is not a last resort, but a first response. Some people come to God when it's as a last resort sort of thing. Well, I tried everything, but let me go to Jesus now. No, it shouldn't be a last resort, but it should be a first response. Things are happening, you go to God in prayer first. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. God wants us to pray. And thank God when we pray individually, which we ought to, but we must pray corporately. I say it again, we must pray corporately. As a body of Jesus Christ, we've got to come together to pray. If the early church did that, I do not understand how Christians find it difficult or cannot or will not or don't prioritize it to come together to pray. We had a good time on Thursday, 8 of us. The rain was falling, it was cold, but we had a good time. As soon as we hit in the meeting, some of us sensed that we needed to pray. And we came into that meeting and the Holy Spirit just led us to pray. And we prayed. So we did. We prayed and we shared. We had a good time of prayer. And there could have been more of you there. I don't know if people let the rain stop you. Can't let the rain stop you. Weather stop you. Business stop you. Just reevaluate and say, you know, I've got to lift up the level of priority level of corporate prayer in my life. I must pray with my brothers and sisters. That's not an optional extra. Listen, I'm going to tell you plain. If you're too busy on a Thursday to pray, you're too busy. That's when we meet to pray. And it's got to be a priority amongst us as believers. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. Alright, so you agree with me then. We've got to pray together. This is not Pastor David saying it. It's God's word. We've got to pray together. We've got to. All right. Let me not flag that anymore. So let's talk a little bit more. Just a little bit more about prayer. Mark 11 and verse 24. It says this. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Listen, you're going to need whatever that need might be. It doesn't matter. Healing. Let's use that. You're going to need in your body. Yes, bring it to the body of Christ. Yes, come forward. And we do what we always have done. Take the oil and we anoint you and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. But folks, please understand this. That there is a preparation of your heart that is necessary for you to come in faith before God when you stand here or stand in your seat to believe God for healing for yourself. Alright, do you agree with that? You've got to do that. That's what God's word requires. If you're just depending upon others, well, let me go and let them pray for me and let them heal me. No. You depend upon God. He's the one who heals. And he's the one who's going to get the glory. But you use your faith. That's why faith is given to you. Everybody's been given a measure of faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. We're going to use that measure now of faith to appropriate it in our lives in a way that pleases God. So we've got to do that. Whatever things you ask for, there's a promise. Talk about the promise principles and the promises and the prophetic. There's a promise. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. That's the requirement. That's the condition. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you've got to check your motive now. Am I asking for the right reason? Am I coming with a pure heart? Am I coming with an ulterior motive? You've got to check your heart. You've got to check yourself. That word believe, I've got some information there. It's a Greek word, I believe it's the verb. It's a Greek verb of the word pistis, okay, which means faith. Alright, it means now, pistuo, to be persuaded, to have confidence in, reliance upon, or trust. So when the Bible tells us that, ask whatever things you ask when you pray, I must believe, you've got to be persuaded, you've got to have confidence in, you've got to be fully reliant upon who? Upon God. That God will do what He said He would do. And that's what God is looking for. And that's why He said, God has faith in you, which is why He says that my word will not return to me void. Because God is having faith that my children will take my word and they will come before me and they will believe me that I am able to do what I said I would do. The when and the timing is all God's. But the part that we have to play is to trust Him, to believe Him, and to act on His word. Alright, so, when you pray, heaven moves and hell backs off. My God, your prayers are more powerful than we realize. We're powerful people. So we're going to stop behaving like wimps. Stop behaving like we don't have any power. Stop behaving like we don't serve the creator of this universe. When you pray, heaven moves and hell backs off. When you pray, your spirit rises and your flesh sits down. Why? Because prayer is a spiritual activity. That's why you are activating the spiritual now. And so your flesh has to sit down. Or it just has to park itself. You can't walk in power if you don't live in prayer. So prayerless Christians, you're ineffective. You're powerless. You have no value at all to the kingdom until you begin to communicate with the one that God said you should communicate with. And we do that through prayer. Personal prayer as well as corporate prayer. When things don't go your way, what happens? How do you respond? You've got to say that to yourself. When things don't happen the way that I expect them to happen, what is my response? And your response should tell you a lot about yourself. And it may indicate that actually you need, your prayer life needs to be more intimate with God. Because things in life, have you found that, won't always go your way. But it's your response to those situations that gives away where you're really at. Now, I hope you understand this statement. I've made it before, once before. Power belongs to the realm of the spirit. Authority belongs to the realm of man. Power belongs to the realm of the spirit and authority. So which of the two do we have? And the answer is both. Because you are man, man as in the species, not the gender, and you are also spirit. The real you is a spirit. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. Alright? So you are man, again, the species, not the gender, because we're all man. Alright? But we are also spirit. The real you is a spirit. Okay, so power and authority belongs to us as believers. And that's why Jesus said in Luke 10:17, 17:19, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Again, you are more powerful than you think. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. My prayer life must be then perpetual. In other words, I don't pray and stop. I pray without ceasing. I pray at all times. And that's why I said to you, practice the presence of God. You pray here, you pray on the way out, you pray when you're on your way home, you pray at home. You're talking to God. Practice the presence of God. It must be constant. It must be continual. Okay, not sporadic. But practice that presence. The more you practice the presence of God, the more you'll have Him in your life. And you'll find God begin to speak to you, begin to direct you, begin to show you things. Things that you don't even know. That's what Jeremiah 33:3 says. Okay? But you also must recognize that I must honor the time of prayer. If it's going to be, if I'm going to pray without ceasing, then I've got to honor that time of prayer. That moment of prayer. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt you to pray. Park what you're doing. Switch your TV off. Go one side. Come out from where you are and go one side and pray. And you've got to follow that. You must honor that time, that specific, that rima, if you like, time of prayer. I must create a strategy then in my life for consistency. Because if I don't create that strategy for consistency, then it may never happen. Because I'm not putting the disciplines in place to work. And I'm going to be talking about disciplines next week. Okay? I must discipline myself to pray. So if you're going to pray without ceasing, you've got to do all these things. You've got to recognize these things and the importance of these things. So let's recap, because I'm coming to a close now. Let's recap for everything. Food for thought. Number one, what are some of the things I'm giving to you now, some suggestions as to what you need to do. All right? You need to, number one, adjust your schedule for a daily gospel. Okay? Adjust your schedule for a daily intake of God's word. And prayerfully do it. Don't just do it for doing it's sake. Adjust yourself. I've approached this year personally myself with a different approach now, because last year I had a different approach. But this year I have another approach. And I'm, you know, even just as prayerful in where I read and where I go. I want the Spirit of God to lead me. Folks, desire to be Spirit-led. Do things because God is leading you to do it. Listen for that voice. Trust that God will speak. And let Him lead you. If your decisions are all intellectual based, then you're going to miss it. Be Spirit-led. And don't try to figure things out with your head too much. Number one, that's number one. Number two, create intimacy with God and His Word. Create intimacy. Have that desire, but create that intimacy that you need with God and with His Word. And that's what the fasting is about. Again, we're steadying ourselves. We're settling ourselves so that intimacy with God and His Word can be created so that we can become more effective for the kingdom of God. Number three, expect God to speak when you read God's Word. Go to it prayerfully. And sometimes what I need to do is I need to go back. I say, wait a minute, I just read this, but let me go back. And I go back and I go over it again, and then I'm seeing something that I never saw the first time I read it. And that's the Holy Spirit illuminating things in your own heart, in your own life. Make prayer, number four, a daily priority in your life. These are basic 101 stuff, really, to be honest. So we should, on one level, we'll be doing this already, but sometimes I recognize that some of us, we need to make adjustments because we're not where we should be. Make prayer a daily priority in your life. Not ritualistic prayer, but prayer where intimacy is birthed and created and maintained. Number five, have a notebook and pen to record what the Holy Spirit will say to you. Have a notebook and pen. I seldom go anywhere without a notebook and pen. Seldom. When I wake up in the mornings, I've got a notebook and a pen right there by my bedside. Ready to record, ready to write, ready to just record whatever God might want to say to me. Because I've always said, and you know it, the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. Number six, watch out for distractions. Identify them and deal with them. Don't ignore them. Because they will come. That phone will ring when it's not supposed to ring. Things will happen. Things that you don't even expect to happen. What happened with the keyboard this morning? That thing broke. And the keyboard fell. Things will happen. But don't get distracted. Don't lose your focus. Because things happen. Not nice when they happen, some of them, but they do happen. Watch out for them. Identify them and deal with them. Just don't ignore them. You can't sweep the dirt under the carpet and call the room clean. Deal with it. Number seven, identify and eradicate noise from your life. Does anybody remember the definition I gave for noise? Unwanted sound. And what else? Okay. Noise is unwanted sound. It is any random fluctuation of data that hinders the perception of a signal. When the phone goes off, or that the text message, email coming in, or even a phone call coming in during your prayer time, which is why you should mute your phone. Okay, it's random fluctuation of data. That's data that's coming in, but what is it doing? It's hindering the perception of another signal. from God from getting through to you, God speaking to you. It's hindering it. Do you understand that? So one signal coming in to distract you from the most important signal that's coming in. God speaking to you about something, bringing you clarity, bringing revelation, spending time in the presence, and suddenly this happens. And that's called noise. It's unwanted sound. You could do that without that. Check your messages later. Switch your phone off. Mute it. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that your time that you're spending with God is not going to be disrupted at all. Alright, number 8. Employ disciplines. Employ disciplines needed to take you to your desired destination. And do that. Employ disciplines needed to take you to your desired destination. As I said, I'm going to speak about disciplines next week. I'm going to wrap up this thing next week. I'm going to speak to you about the last 3. Hopefully, I'll cover 3 next week. 1 last week, 2 today, and 3 next week. So this is just a guide for the things that we need to really do. Let me just, before I close, let me just say this. You've got to recognize, okay, that we are now in a period of fasting and prayer. So number one, the key thing is this, in fasting and prayer, is stilling ourselves. However you do that will depend on your personal schedules and your life. Because some of us, we still work while we're fasting and while we're praying. But the important thing is that you make the time to pray while you're fasting. Okay? Steady yourself. And where you can, you release yourself from activity. That's why we don't run the food bank during January when we're fasting. Because we're stilling ourselves from the busyness of activity so that we can create the atmosphere for God to work, so that we can clear the clutter, so that we can pick up the signals that's coming from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God Himself, for us to work. So we need to do that. But that does not mean we can't ask God for things. But what some Christians do, they make the biggest mistake ever. You start fasting and prayer, and you start by running in for, Lord, I want this, Lord, I want that, Lord, I want this, without even stopping to examining yourself and being still before the presence of God and saying, Lord, I need you more than I need everything else. And that's what this is about. And as you do that, as you still yourself, of course we can pray for one another. Of course we can do that. We're going to do that in a moment. Because there are some folks here that, the 2 folks sent me a message. They're not well, and we're going to pray for them in a moment. But we just don't want to rush into the presence of God. And we just don't want to rush and ask God for things, ask God for things, without stilling ourselves. Lord, I got many demands, but you've already promised me from Matthew 6 and 33 that, Lord God, you will supply everything that I need if I seek you first and seek your kingdom first. But Lord, this time is about us. It's about, Lord, I want to be effective this year. And if I'm going to be effective this year, I need you to speak to me. I need you to work in me. I need you to work through me, Lord. And this is what this is about. Breaking down the demands of the flesh. Being still before God so that God can do what he wants to do. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's got to be that way around. It really has to be. Again, you have your prayer because, of course, bring them before God. Of course, when we come, we pray together and we pray for them. But the primary thing is being still before God so that God can speak. Because sometimes we're so busy we don't even take the time to let God speak himself. And he wants to speak. You know, when you read Isaiah 58, and I haven't got time to go into that now. I've done that twice this week. When you read Isaiah 58 properly, you'll see a proper breakdown there. This is not the fast that I've chosen. But you know what the fast God has chosen? He goes on to say, You know the rest of the verse, this is the fast that I've chosen. When you look at that, and I've shared this with you before, when you look at the list of the fast that God has chosen, it's all about others. When you read it, oh, that's about others. This is the fast that I've chosen, about others. Others, 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 and others, others. And it's good, and it's God's way, because it takes our minds off of ourselves. Yes, we've got needs. Yes, we've got trials. We need prayer answered. We need answers too. But when God says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be added. And the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. And God is saying, hey, others. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. For what? For others. so that they can have a hope and they can have a future and they can have a hand. And when you read through, I haven't got time to do that now, but I've done it. And when you read through it, you see it quite clearly. It's about others, but God has promised things. And there's a flow. And I've made a note in my book, which I've got there, and also in my Bible, which is at home. I've made a note in that, that God is very clear. So we make it about God's kingdom, we make it about Him, and He will take care of things. He will take care of us. How many people know that God loves you? He's got a future for you. Listen to me, church. He's got a future for you. And the future is a good one. But we've got to pursue it now. We're soldiers, and so we've got to fight. There is an enemy that we've got to fight. There's a devil and there's demons that come up against you that wants to stop you from worshiping and praising God, creating the atmosphere for God to work. But in the name of Jesus, they're defeated. I say it again. In the name of Jesus, they are defeated. And we are going to rise up. This church, the name of it is Living Waters. Living Waters. And from Ezekiel 47, I'm going to say it and say it and say it. We see waters flowing from the temple. Healing waters, the Bible calls it. Flowing. And the Bible says wherever it goes, the river goes, the waters go, healing takes place. And so God has provided healing for your physical body, for your emotions, for your finances, for every part, for your relationships. We're going to be looking at relationships later this year. God has provided it for us. God loves you with an everlasting love, and He wants to do what is great and mighty in your own life. Can we just bow our heads in prayer?